This is the fourth Sunday of the season of Awaken. And what we're doing as a congregation is we're dedicating extra time to God in prayer and fasting, Bible study, praise and worship. And so we've actually had 21 days so far of an hour of prayer here at the church. And if you've missed out, we'll talk more about it, but I want to invite you this week. We're continuing on until next Sunday, which is Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday is a big deal. And you know, we certainly make a big deal of Christmas. There's the season of Christmas, the Christmas season. It affects all of us, and it affects believers and unbelievers alike. Then we have Easter, which is another season, amazing season, the resurrection of Christ and what that means, the new birth and Jesus paying the penalty for our sins. And we died with him, we were buried with him, we were raised with him. But another big event in the church is Pentecost. And that's where the Holy Spirit came on a body of believers and still doing that today and has changed forever ministry. And where now God's Spirit dwells in all the believers, dwells and operates and works, and it's for amazing things. And it's a really smart plan, because instead of just the power of God being in one area where Jesus was or just a few leaders, God can be everywhere all at one time through his church. And so I just want to encourage you to come out next Sunday and be prepared. And come celebrate with us. If you want to, the color for Pentecost is red. So if you want to wear red, it gives a lady's opportunity to buy a new dress. Well, oh, Grayson will pay for it. It's his birthday. He's so generous. He is generous. And so some things that we were been expecting during this season of Awaken. Who's had some good things happen already? Amen. Praise God. We are expecting, of course, lives being transformed. Transformation is just not when you're born again. There's continual transformation that God is doing in our lives. And so we're certainly expecting that. We're expecting breakthroughs. Breakthroughs is when you're just right there. We call it at the goal line, ready to press on in for a touchdown. And you need a breakthrough because that goal line defense, it's tough, you know, those few yards sometime to go into the end zone. We need a breakthrough. And in the Old Testament, Jehovah was called the master of the breakthrough. And so we're believing that for some things that you've been believing God. You've just been on the goal line and you're so close, believing for some breakthroughs. We're expecting for more unity in the church. There's power in unity. We've talked over and over about one accord in the book of Acts, and it's used about 10 times, and every time that it's used, amazing things happen for the congregation, but for families, for individuals, businesses, and so we certainly want that, more unity here, more love between us. I mean, that agape love, unconditional love, not judging, not condemning. You know, one of our core values here is open arms. And just a presence and a demonstration of that love and more love between us. And that's something that we have to know about and experience and let flow through us. We choose to walk in love, and we need to let that, I'm believing for that to grow in a greater way. Letting go of some weights and sins so that we can better reach for what God has for us. We had a powerful service last Sunday. And again, nothing you can manufacture or make happen at the end of the service. Some people came forward and just laying some things down. And in Hebrews, it talks about, putting aside weights and sins. And we illustrated that. Great. Do you want to illustrate that again, Grayson? No, okay. Anyway, but we illustrated that, what a weight was and what sin does. And to put it aside actually means to lay it down, but then push it out of your reach. And people were participating and some amazing things happened last week. Greater desire for God's word to pray and to worship. Greater passion for the lost. There ought to be that passion in our daily lives as we go about passion for the waiter or the waitress, passion at Walmart for the clerk or other, you know, passion for our neighbors, passion for people that we work with, just a love for them, a desire to see God move in their life. And as opportunities arise, that we'll be used by God to touch people in our world. To hear from God answers to questions that we have. How many people have questions today? Well, God's got answers for you. He is wisdom. He is truth. And you know, he has answers to every question, big or small, for you. We want to see people grow in their faith. And faith is believing in things that we don't see, to believe bigger, to think bigger, to talk bigger. We're believing for more boldness. We have some bold people here. But great miracles happen because of boldness. And the scriptures talk about praying and expecting that. And so we've been calling that in. Yesterday, it was a powerful prayer time, amazing prayer time yesterday morning. And we were praying for the persecuted church. And we just had different folks come up and pray. And as we prayed, again, just there really was some unity and harmony there in our prayer time. And it really ended with the whole prayer for boldness. Cynthia Thomas was leading us, and Cynthia is bold in her prayer and praise. And she was just exhorting us and speaking to us about being bold and calling it in to this church. For people to be stirred up and excited about what God is doing in their lives. You know, we ought to be passionate about the things of God. The things of God should never be boring. The word, prayer, praise, coming to church, fellowship, doing spiritual things. Even, you know, our lives are worship. Our work is worship. When we go about our, even, you know, going to buy things for our home, working in the yard, it's all worship to God. And we ought to be just passionate and full of joy. And again, when you're full of joy, it doesn't mean everything's perfect. There's an enemy that's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But in the midst of the storm, we can be like Jesus, asleep in the boat, at peace. And that's a place of power. That's a place where you hear from God. That's a place where God can use you and minister through you because you're not thinking about yourself and your problems. You're wanting to work with God and cooperate with Him. And then, last but not least, is to be prepared for a summer of ministry. We have missions teams, two teams going to Nicaragua, one team going to India. And summer here at Good News Church is always about ministry. It's always about being about God's business. It's always about outreach and giving life. And this summer will be no different. And I find it interesting that the first prayer in Acts chapter 2, the first corporate prayer, you know, after they were persecuted about a miracle, they went to their own company, went to their own people that they belonged to. We all need that. This is not a time to be alone. This is not a time to be on your own. This is a time to have a home base and to have people that you fellowship with. And they had that in the book of Acts, and they came together and they prayed corporately. But what did they pray about? Did they pray about the bills being paid? Did they pray about them being healed? You know, or equipment that they needed or whatever? No, they prayed about ministry. They prayed about ministry, and that's how they responded to persecution. That's how they responded to trials. That's how they responded to threats, was to pray, to stretch forth your hand, Jesus' hand, to heal. Signs and wonders may be done in the name of Jesus. And then they prayed and corporately prayed, and the place that they were assembled was shaken. Supernatural demonstration of God's power. That's the power of unity. When we can come together. I mean, God's power is available. And it intensifies as we come together. But that place was shaken. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And we read in the book of Acts, I mean, just some amazing ministry. 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, adding to the church daily those being saved. Acts 6 talks about the disciples being multiplied. It was a healthy, vibrant, growing church. We need to be prepared, and you need to be prepared and get ready for a summer of ministry. So we started, yesterday was 21 days before we started prayer and fasting. And we are extending that for another week until next Sunday. And I'm challenging those that haven't been able to come. And I know we have a lot of reasons, excuses, to come. Maybe you haven't started fasting yet. I want to challenge you this week to do a meal or two, maybe a day of fasting. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. It's going to be amazing. It'll be powerful. Times of prayer, I mean, they've been just getting stronger. You'd be coming at the perfect time. He saves the best for last. So we're praying every day at 6 to 7 right in here. Wednesday we'll pray in the commons. And then Saturday here at, in the auditorium at 9:30. And then Sunday morning we'll be in the commons at 9:30 praying there. And so I just want to encourage you. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the week you're coming to prayer. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, this is the week you're going to begin fasting. All right, now turn to your other neighbor again about prayer and then tell that first person, this is the week you're going to begin fasting. Just tell somebody else, Grayson. You can do it with God's help. I don't know who that is. With God's help, you can do it. Now, people are saying, I've been praying at home. Most of the time, they're lying. Now, I'm not looking at anybody. But you know who you are. And it's good to pray at home, and we need to do that. But we're having a season of awaken at the church. And, you know, and if you're a member and you've been a part of the church, wouldn't it be something, man, let's get involved in that. That sounds good. I want that. And if you don't want awaken, then you really need to be here. All right. I need to get moving here. But let's just say this. No more excuses. Now say it like you really mean it. No more excuses. Aren't you tired of excuses? Tired of all the reasons why you can't do something? God's providing opportunity to move forward in your life, and yet we got excuses. What are we afraid of? I think, you know, we're just so busy, we're afraid of that he might actually speak to us and ask us to do something. Are you afraid of God's presence? You know, you get Adam and Eve in the garden, and after they were tempted and then they fell, they hid from God. They felt ashamed. Do you feel ashamed? Now, this prayer time has not been about judging anybody or condemning anybody. But I've learned this over the years, that when I mess up, and I will mess up again, but I seem to mess up a lot more when I was a younger believer. When you mess up, don't run from God, run to Him. Hebrews 4 talks about coming boldly to the throne. What's it called? The throne of condemnation? The throne of death? The throne of punishment and beat your brains out and get you and stick you? It says the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And that's His presence. Come into His presence. And it says, if you missed it, you'll get mercy. And His mercies are new every morning. There's forgiveness. But then there's something else that we all need, whether we realize it or not, is we need His grace. And His grace is, it's favor, but it's also empowerment. We need power to live in this world. You need power. So don't run from Him, run to Him. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And maybe you just want to follow along, because I just want to read this account of the day of Pentecost. And I'll just go ahead and just tell you, we're probably going to go past 12 today. So just so you know, and I don't really, and you know, depending how you act, we may go to 1, I don't know. If you act like you're really with it. It's like our stomachs, we can't handle it. 12 o'clock, I got to eat. Acts 2, verse 1. Let's put it up here. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They had been together for 10 days. Jesus ascended, and he said, go wait in Jerusalem. And they were in the upper room. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like wildfire, everybody say wildfire. When you say wildfire, you got to say it like, give a little attitude to it. Wildfire. Wildfire. Y'all need some wildfire. I don't know if I want any of that. That sounds kind of scary. Wildfire. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks. And they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There are many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims. They're there for the Feast of Pentecost. Devout pilgrims from all over the world. And when they heard the sound, they came on the run. I mean, when God is moving, things are happening, people are going to come to see. And, you know, today they're staying away in droves. Let's just be real. They're staying away. But when God's moving, the power of God's there, they're going to come. And when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? And it's going to go on to talk about all the, how come we're hearing them talking in our various mother tongues? It's going to mention all the different places. So let's move on to the verse 10 or 11. Yeah, verse 11. Both Jew and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs, they're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked they are drunk on cheap wine. That's when Peter stood up. This is Peter who denied Jesus to girls. Went back to fishing. That's when Peter stood up and backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke. The sun turning black and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous. And whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved. That's pretty awesome. That's the day of Pentecost. That was a supernatural day. Now let me ask you a question. Do you long for supernatural occurrences? Do you long for signs and wonders and miracles? Do you long for people to be saved en masse? Salvations, baptism, the Holy Spirit, healings. I've been reading, doing the daily Bible reading and in the Gospels, and more than one occasion it said they were all healed. Do you long for that? Churches to be filled up. God moving in our midst in powerful ways. Do you long for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation? Are you hungry for that? Do you desire that? You're going to get what you desire. And people are drawn to the power. Now let me ask you, why isn't it happening in our churches? Is the book of Acts and what happened then, or other great spiritual awakenings in history, which we'll talk about sometime coming up, is that just for them? No. The book of Acts, these are our people. This is our heritage. And God intended for the latter house to be greater than the former. And so the book of Acts is our standard. We're to go above the standard. But it's been so weakened in the church, we don't even come to church expecting anything anymore. A lot of times we don't, we think it doesn't even matter if I'm there. Our praises are weak. Our prayers are feeble. Our offerings aren't sincere. We're kind of going through the motions. Well, Mark 4 will tell us clearly why these things are happening. Because there's an enemy. Just like in the garden with Adam and Eve, he didn't like it that they were fellowshipping with God. They didn't like it that God was training them. He didn't like it that they were being fruitful and multiplying. He hated all of that. He didn't like love and unity and harmony. Mark 4, verse 14. I'm going to read in the Amplified. The sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who hear the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. In the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those when they hear the word, they're all hearing the word, at once receive it and accept and welcome it with joy, and they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. Now, this verse is going to be for our leaders here and for the members of Good News Church. Verse 19. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passion. Look at that. The passion's in the wrong place. All through the Old Testament, it talks about worshiping false idols. And mingling with the wrong people. And wanting what they have. You know, Moses is up there, face to face with God. And they're down there building a golden calf. Just craving other things. What God has for us is not enough. Craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word. And then what the enemy wants, it becomes fruitless. He doesn't want you bearing fruit. In this world and in this age that we're living in, it's so easy for us to go stale and to be stagnant. We become sluggish. That's a Bible word. We get weighed down. We talked about that last week. Some of us, we fall into sin. Maybe old sins that we thought we had dealt with. We get negative. Here's a good word. We get desensitized. What we used to wouldn't even be a part of, now we are. What we used to, we wouldn't watch or listen to, now we are. People that we fellowship with, and again, I'm for reaching everybody, but you know, who you have around you and hang out with matters, influences you. And now you'd rather hang out with them than with church people. Whereas you used to be in church every time the door opened and you couldn't get enough and you wanted more, now we rarely see you. What does it matter? They don't need me. You don't know who you are. Every person's important. Every person brings a supply. Get desensitized. And then when that happens, God's voice gets muffled. It's like you're tuning the radio and you just can't get the right frequency. And you're just getting static. Passion wanes. You don't have to try to, con me. But you're sitting here, you know when the passion has waned. You know it. You don't have to confess it to me, but you know it. You know when the spark's not there and the fire's not there. You know it. And if ever the most exciting days of our Christianity are in the past, we probably have gotten stagnant. Because my Bible says we're going from glory to glory. Faith to faith. Spirit to spirit. We shine brighter and brighter. passion wanes, our hearts get hardened. This is good, isn't it? Aren't you glad you came today? Come on, Pastor, it's Memorial Day weekend. I just want some time off. Our hearts get hardened and the joy and the freshness leaves. And this is just what the enemy wants, for us to be lulled to sleep and bear no fruit. It's time to wake up! It's time to wake up! It's time to wake up! This is not how we're meant to live. We are new creations. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We have been made victorious in Christ Jesus. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are believers. The Spirit of God Himself has come to live and dwell in us. That doesn't seem boring. But it comes a day when you have to say enough is enough. I'm tired of the way I'm living. I'm tired of this, all that's happening. And so that's what we've been attempting to do in the last 21 days. Starting to disconnect from distractions. We're seeking God. You know, instead of a meal, we're replacing that with worship and Bible study and prayer. And when we're hungry for food, we say, Lord, this is how we feel about you. Replacing that hunger for natural food to be hungry for God and in His ways. We're becoming more intentional in our focus on God and His Word. Fasting's not about changing God's mind or obtaining forgiveness or obtaining His favor. It's about being intentional to spend more time with Him. Cutting off the world's voice. It's about remembering His goodness and who you are. Prayer and fasting together, it's about hitting the reset button. What's the solution to every problem you have with your PC? Turn the power off and turn it back on. Right? The reset button. Having problems with my iPad and some weird things happening? Shut it off. Power back on. Yesterday, see, I got so many things here. Yesterday, we took Grayson's car to the dealership to get the oil changed. And, you know, his car, you know, I don't think it has been, but, you know, racing all over the city, breaking a bunch of laws. Has it? I don't know. But it's just normal wear and tear of just life and operating and living. And the car, you know, even has a light that says it's, you know, time for an oil change, time to be serviced. We have those seasons in our lives, and it's like we, you know, we've got it written right there, but it's like you don't see the light. It's time for oil change. Gunk builds up. The oil goes bad. The filter gets clogged. And we have enough sense in the natural to bring the car in and get it serviced. But when it comes to spiritual things, we just can't keep on going. Oh, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 12,000. 15,000. We'll bring in it eventually. And we wonder why we're not performing. And we wonder why we're not seeing the fruitfulness. Time for oil change. And the Bible even calls in the Old Testament the Spirit of God and His power and refreshing power, fresh oil. We all need fresh oil. You need fresh oil. But you haven't come in for the oil change. And yet you just continue to go on, well, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to handle this one. Oh yeah? Where's that getting you? We're doing everything but going to God's presence. Every other thing but going to God's presence. It's like we're afraid of what might happen when we do. I'm just too busy. I don't have time. Well, we had time for the oil change. But one of the most important oil changes we don't have time for. Acts 2:28 will tell you, you know, if you're coming for the oil change, Acts 2:28, look what it says. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. In God's oil change, it comes with joy. Anybody here could use a little joy? This word presence in 54 times in the New Testament, it's the word face. The joy of your face, God's face. This is not something to be afraid of. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to come into this presence. Well, come with us. We learn to pray from other people. Come sit by me. I sit right here during prayer time. I give you permission, a whole group of you. Come sit by me and listen to me pray. I've learned some things in 30 years. I don't have it all down. I'm still growing. But I'll teach you how to pray. No more excuses. No more excuses. You need an oil change. The light has been blinking for 10,000 miles. Come into His presence. Come into His presence boldly. You need it. And I'm not saying you're in sin. Some of you are. But certainly a bunch of gunk. I just cleaned my sink out. I should have just put it on. I should have filmed the whole thing. I'm not even going to mention words what was in that drain. I got me some good Drano. And I took it and I poured it down there and I let it soak. Came back. I mean, there's spiritual ramifications from Drano. Let it soak. And then I came back and it says put hot water in there. And I put the hot water in there and it's acting like it was going to be plugged up, but it just... That drain is operating like a well-oiled machine. You need some of God's Drano. His is a lot nicer and sweeter and loving. Acts 3:19. Getting close, guys. Maybe. 12:06. Oh, I can't make it. See, that's just your stomach. All right, we're fasting for 7 minutes now. I'm showing you what fasting's like. You can do it. Acts 3:19. So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. Nate, you need to put your notebook down to get ready for something. Because go ahead and stand up there. Just be ready. Okay? And just try to act like you know what's going on. Because we're going we need to respond to the Spirit of God today. We need to respond to God. Now, let me read this in James. We normally just read the verse, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. That's James 4:8. But we need to read the whole thing in context here. And I'm going to read it from the Message so you can just look up here. But at the top of this chapter in the Message, it says, get serious. Put it up there, please. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way. And fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. Your spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, and so many people, even believers, many believers, they just live it for themselves. It's not about what God wishes. It's about what they wish. Who cares what he wants? You're cheating on God if all you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get. Uh-uh. Oh, come on now. Facebook. I saw someone the other day, and they were on Facebook, and they didn't have their glasses. They had the screen like this in Facebook. We have more craving for Facebook or Instagram or Twitter than we do the things of God. More excited about that. And some of the things we're looking at, I don't think they're godly. Hallelujah. But what you put in your face, you'll eventually become like. Wow. Pornography. I was in Nigeria and a guy there was a doctor and he talked about pornography and he showed the brain of someone that was on pornography. There's black dots and spots on that brain from pornography. Physically. I had never seen anything like that. from what you put in your face and look at affected your natural brain. And the devil's trying to put all kind of things in your face to get you distracted from the presence, from the face of God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God in His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover. And what He gives in love is far better. See, this is the thing. All these things you're chasing, it's found in God and more. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work His will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. Oh, this is really good. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Is that it, guys? Praise God. I'm not, you know, I just want you to know I love you guys. I'm not calling anybody out or looking at anybody today. You may feel like I'm picking on you. I'm not. And I hope that there is not any 1 ounce of condemnation here today. That there just be a spirit of love and grace here. I can't manufacture that. But we're, as leaders here, we're asking you guys to wake up. Come on with us. We're trying to go somewhere. We've got a vision and mission. We need you. And I understand that just in life, you know, gunk builds up. But let's get rid of the gunk. Let's get excited. Let's get passionate about what really matters. So come with us. Come on. Come on with us. If you're offended with me in some way, let's meet together. Let's work it out. If you're offended with someone else in the church, get together. Work it out. We're talking about our big year. God wants to do some big things. And it's a whole lot in every area of our life. But one of the biggest things He wants to do is just overwhelm you with His love. And that it just so fills us up that it's just overflow. Wherever you go, it's just overflow of His love. That's a light. People are going to be attracted to that. And I want to encourage some folks here today. I mean, you've gone through some tough times. Come get filled up. God can turn it around in a moment. What the enemy has meant for harm, God can turn it around for good. He delivers. He can set you free today of some thing that's been harassing you. He can set you free today. That oppression, those voices that are speaking to you, the Spirit of God can just remove that confusion and those negative voices in a moment. He can deliver you. He can set you free. Come on into His presence. Come on into His presence. Let's seek His face. Don't be afraid. And when it comes to change, He'll even empower you. He'll give you grace to change. Come on. Come on. Come.